are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB. And thanks for making Locked On MLB your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. This is the podcast. We talk about all the Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. If you're watching me on YouTube, you can see right there, you can call me Sully. On today's episode, which is being dropped on the 21st day of October 2021, I pay my respects to two teams that I may have disrespected along the way, and they have proven a lot of us wrong. And I'm going to be, well, for the lack of a better word, eating some crow in some parts and, well, addressing a couple of people who wrote to me who felt I was being disrespectful, and I want to address what they said, and not to correct them. They were probably right. I probably was being disrespectful, at least in some aspects. Either way, we are very, very close to setting up a World Series matchup. This show is available, as I said, on all the free platforms, including YouTube. You can follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at LockedOnMLBPods. I am your host. I am your pal, Sully, and your host. You can find me at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. And if you have a smart device, be sure to tell them to play podcast Locked On MLB. Or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Red Sox, Astros, Locked On Dodgers, and Braves. Let me tell you one thing about the 20th day of October 2021, which, by the way, is very late when I'm recording this on Wednesday evening. And there's one aspect of today that made me a little bit sad. Now, this is not clinched. This could very well change. But this could be the last day for this particular calendar year that we had two Major League Baseball games played. If the ALCS ends on Friday, then that's it. Then you have a pennant winner, which would be Houston. And then when, if Los Angeles loses tomorrow, then it doesn't matter. Then that's the end of that series. And there's a whole bunch of scenarios where there would be only one game played. And of course, today, Thursday, the only game scheduled is LA versus Atlanta. And if Los Angeles loses that game, then the NLCS is over. And alas, that's it for having two games in one day. And I love the everyday aspect of baseball. I love that after a wild offensive outpouring that the Red Sox showed on Monday, they can have two straight days where they don't show up because you have to do it every day. And I love when games overlap. When the playoffs end, I actually have a couple of thoughts about the games when you have four playoff games being played. As you know, it's my happiest time of the year. That being said, I think that we could maybe adapt having games played concurrently in the postseason. Would that be the worst thing in the world? Would that be the worst thing in the world to have two primetime games and you flip between one and the other? Or you have two afternoon games and you flip between one and the other? Either way, there's a real possibility that that aspect of baseball, multiple games being played on the same day, might be over tomorrow. And let's address that series first. There's two series to address, and then I'll do my mea culpas. Now, the LA Dodgers on Tuesday had that wild, miraculous comeback, which was sparked by the three-run home run to tie the game that Ballinger hit. Betts hit the go-ahead run. And the Dodgers, who looked dead from the neck up, they were losing 5-2. They were about to fall behind 3-0, suddenly won that game. And everybody, or not everybody, I know I did. I know Charlie Steiner did, the Dodgers announcer. I felt that was the turning point of the series, that suddenly the Dodgers took control. It was kind of like there have been instances where a major home run suddenly turns a series on its head. Yeah, probably the most famous one would be, the Jim Leyritz home run off of Mark Wohlers, when that whole series, the Braves were just overwhelming the Yankees and looked like they were going to win it in five. And then when Larratt's hit the game tying home run, suddenly all the momentum changed to the Yankees. A similar one involving a New York team would be when Mike Socia hit that home run off of Dwight Gooden in the 1988 playoffs. The Dodgers looked overwhelmed, and they actually lost their first two Hershiser starts. And it just looked like the Mets were going to win this in five, and they were about to take a 3-1 lead with Doc Gooden on the mound. That's when Socia hit that game-tying home run and really turned the tide of the series as the Dodgers went on to win in seven. And I really felt that the Bellinger home run was going to be one of those home runs. I guess the most famous one was actually probably Dave Henderson's home run against Donnie Moore, but I digress. I really felt that the Dodgers woke up at that point. They were going to come out. It was a bullpen game for Atlanta. Julio Urias was going to pitch for Los Angeles. And I just felt that the Dodgers were going to take complete control there. I thought they were going to tie the series, and that was going to be it. And the Braves jumped ahead with back-to-back home runs in the second inning, and next thing you know, it was 5-0 before the Dodgers even got their first hit. And it was indeed a bullpen game, but alas, the Braves pitching did their job and the Dodgers pitchers did not, and the final score was 9-2, and quite frankly, it didn't even seem that close. The Braves took complete control of that game. They had that one hiccup in the fifth inning where Pollock drove in the pair of runs, but that was it. And eventually they pushed it forward and pushed it forward. And I'm going to bring up a name that has a connection to the success of what happened with Atlanta. And that is Pablo Sandoval. Remember Pablo, the Panda, the World Series MVP in 2012? Hit big, big hits for the Giants when they won the World Series in 2014. Sort of earned his... earned the love back with San Francisco when he returned then and became popular with Atlanta when he had his little stint with them. Well, eventually, the Braves saw the Panda was done, and they were probably just going to designate him for assignment. Instead, they sent him to Cleveland, and Cleveland basically dumped Eddie Rosario back to them, and Cleveland promptly dumped Pablo Sandoval. They released him. I don't think he played a single game with Cleveland. I think it was almost immediate. And by dumping Pablo Sandoval to Cleveland for Rosario, around the time that the Braves' offense and their outfield specifically was absolutely decimated, led by the injury to Ronald Acuña Jr., in that unheralded move, which was probably about manipulating 40-man rosters and dumping salary and everything like that, the Braves probably stumbled across the National League Championship Series MVP. And the only reason why Eddie Rosario is playing is because Jorge Soler, another pickup at the trade deadline, is on the COVID list. And so Rosario's getting the start. He got the walk-off hit the other day in a game where he just kept getting hit after hit after hit. And this one, before you blinked, he had the two hardest parts of the cycle. He had a home run and a triple before a lot of people in L.A. were in their seats. And then when he got another single, you're like, this guy gets a double, then he'll have hit for the cycle. And he came up at a time when they were rallying late. And I think it was Freeman hit a ground rule double. I was thinking, if only that was Rosario. And instead, he did not get a double. He did not hit for the cycle. Instead, he hit another homer. And everything was good. Remember how awful Freddie Freeman was at the beginning of this series? Well, you know, he had a game. You know, Freeman went, got on base three times, homered. Rosario hit two home runs and tripled. Freeman also got a double. Duvall drove in a pair of runs. Dansby Swanson got a hit and scored a run, and he stole a base. And the law firm of Chavez, Smiley, Martin, Minter, Matzek, and Will Smith, not that Will Smith, nor that Will Smith, but the other Will Smith, combined to hold the Dodgers to four hits and one run and two runs scored. Four hits and one walk and two runs scored, I'm sorry, I meant to say. And now here we are. The Atlanta Braves showed us something, didn't they? The Atlanta Braves, who a lot of us thought were dead from, you know, from what happened the previous night, that may have been a speed bump. I think someone called it a speed bump. I think Snitker called it a speed bump. That may be exactly what happened. Because right now, the Braves have a 3-1 lead. And Max Fried is pitching for Atlanta. He's their best pitcher. Now, you have to go all the way back to last year to find a point where the Atlanta Braves were up 3-1 against the Los Angeles Dodgers, and the Dodgers came back to win it. Okay. But, you know, that being said, there's something about this Braves team. They have been playing, you know, certainly since the trade deadline, they've been playing as well as any team in baseball. But they have nothing to lose. They have absolutely nothing to lose, and they're playing like it. They're playing loose. They're playing fast. They're playing aggressively. They're not giving the Dodgers any wiggle room or hope for a comeback. And they're going to hand their ball to their best pitcher with a chance to go to the World Series. And look, the Dodgers are a great team, and they could very well win 3 in a row. But the Braves are in the perfect condition right now. They're throwing their best pitcher, and they know that if this doesn't work, they can go back to Atlanta and split. That's all they have to do. And then they're going to the World Series. And if that happens, then, you know, then I don't know what to say to the Dodgers if that happened. I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to retool? Are you going to make big changes? A lot of veterans on that team. You don't know how big that window of opportunity is for this particular crew. You may have to tinker with it and pop the hood. Like when you go to Rock Auto, you know, with the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain store to have all the parts you need for your car. Why endure the pointless and seemingly intimidating questioning and wait for the person behind the counter or the parts on the computer choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. You can save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto's prices are reliably low for every customer. So go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution for your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car, truck, and right Locked On in their How Do You Hear Us About Us box. Easy for you to say, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need are at rockauto.com. Okay, let's head over to the other series. Man, a lot has changed in this series. In this case, the home run that was the turning point looks like it is a turning point. Altuve hit that game-tying home run in the eighth inning. And I believe what they've outscored the Red Sox, what, 17-1 since then? It's ridiculous. And no amount of Lance Diaz calls made up for this one. And look, I'm going to address one thing. I haven't read the Twitter reactions. I don't know what people are saying about Chris Sale pitching into the sixth. I actually have no problem with it. I don't have a problem with it because we've been talking, a lot of us have been talking about how, you know, all these pitchers don't go deep in the games, don't get deep in the games. Sale was pitching well. He looked like old Chris Sale. Yeah, he let up a home run, but the Red Sox bats once again were dead. Two straight games of the Red Sox bats being dead after two games, or three games really, where they seemed to score at will. And, you know, Chris Sale made the play of that comebacker, and there was one out, and you're thinking, you know, if he gets a strikeout here or a pop-up or something like that, he could get out of this. He could squeeze six innings out of him. And it just didn't happen. It just didn't happen. And they rallied, and the next thing you know, a razor-thin game turned into a blowout. And it turned out that it is possible to have a pitcher go deep in the game, and it was Framber Valdez who went eight innings. Now, he went eight innings, let up three hits. He let up the one run, which was the solo homer to Devers. He only let up one walk, and he threw 93 pitches. Now, the fact that he had 93 pitches probably is why he didn't come out for the ninth. I was rooting for the Red Sox, but I kind of wish that he went nine. That would have been a wonderful middle finger from Dusty Baker of, yeah, all these mixing and matching. I got a great pitcher. He went nine. It was close to that. He gave the Astros eight, Valdez gave the Astros eight solid innings. You know, only Stanek was the one who pitched at all. And the Gravemans and the Presleys and all them, they got today off and they're going to have tomorrow off. So when game six comes around, the Astros pitching staff is going to be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Now, as for the Red Sox, they used Brazier, they used Robles, but they also used Darwin's and Hernandez, Saramura, Perez, who are none of them are going to be their top relievers going in game six. So this series is by no means over. The Red Sox are going to be pitching their best pitcher, Nathan Eovaldi. They could have a day to sort of get their head on straight and go into Houston and win game six. And by all accounts, a game seven would be a complete coin toss. And in one instance, Red Sox fans, I know they don't want to hear this right now, but this was a rebuilding year where a lot of people didn't think they were going to even have a winning season. And now if everything goes wrong, they will have gotten to game six of the American League Championship Series with this team that, you know, some points in the year looked dreadful. In fact, in some ways, the ALCS has been a wonderful microcosm for the Red Sox because there have been sometimes during this regular season, the Red Sox looked unbeatable. And there were sometimes they looked atrocious. There's sometimes they could score 5, 6, 7, 12 runs in a game. And sometimes they would get shut out by the starting pitchers of the Baltimore Orioles. There seemed to be no rhyme or reason in terms of this Red Sox team that won, 93 games. So obviously they had a good year, but there was no consistency from this team. And you're seeing that exact same thing happen with them in the ALCS. There's some days they just look like they could score, you know, 25, 30 runs if they wanted to. And then the last couple of days, save for a Devers home run and a Bogarts home run, they didn't score at all. They didn't manufacture a single run other than a pair of homers. But this is more about giving credit to the Houston Astros, especially after they were getting pounded and looked like they were about to fall 3-1. And people were already reserving duck boats for another parade for the Red Sox. You know, Yankee fans were writing about how, like, I can't believe the Red Sox are about to win their fifth World Series title. And you know what? They still could. They still could. But the fact of the matter is the Astros showed who they were. Remember how I said when the Astros fell behind 2-1 and the Dodgers fell behind 2-0, that these are two franchises that have to do a little bit of soul searching and they're going to have to show us who they are and what their character is? Well, we're seeing what the Astros are. We're seeing what they're capable of. And they have put the Red Sox behind the eight ball right now. Now, game six, Eovaldi pitching, a lot of things could go right. And the fact that they're going to have their team rested and ready too, and that includes Whitlock, that includes Ottavino, that includes everyone that they would want to line up. So, you know, may include Houck, although part of me thinks they may have to start Houck in game seven if it comes to that. But do you know what? You got to get through game six first. It's probably going to be another parade. But give the Astros credit. And we're giving them a ton of credit coming up in the final segment of this show. You forgive me, this may not be my longest show because, as I said, it is late. Your pal Sully needs to get up for work. But it is a surefire bet that I was going to do this show. I was not going to miss this opportunity to talk about these games today. And if you're going to make any bets, go to BetOnline, which remains the number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus from basketball, football, baseball, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline is where the game starts. So let me make this perfectly clear. The Astros deserve the credit for this. This is not about the Red Sox folding. This is about the Astros pitching and hitting coming together and winning two critical games at Fenway Park. Series isn't over, but the Astros showed you what they're made out of. And if they win the pennant, I have a lot of thoughts. And Astro fans who hate me, they've made that very clear over the last few years, might be surprised at what I would think about the Astros moving forward to the American League pennant. There's some positives there. It's tough for me to talk about right now, and I'm not going to talk about it until the pennant is won. But you've got to give this team credit for what they did with their backs against the wall and, you know, getting into the postseason in the first place in a very, very tough division. But the other team I got to really address, I guess, some of the people who felt I was disrespectful, is the Atlanta Braves. Now, let me read a couple of things that I've got. I'm going to go to the, where was it? To the YouTube page. In the YouTube page, Jeremy Bettis wrote to me and said, Dodgers have the deepest roster ever constructed. Okay. Don't care about the injuries. Don't care about home field. Don't make excuses for the highest payroll in the history of the sport. They got beat. So this is referring to a podcast I did a couple of days ago. And I suppose I was making it, maybe I was sounding belittling of what the Braves did or throwing too many excuses the Dodgers' way. You're right, Jeremy. You're 100% right. There's no excuses for the Dodgers. Every team has injuries. Every team has major players who aren't playing. Who has more than the Braves in terms of that? So, no, I'm not making excuses for the Dodgers, and I hope you don't think I'm taking away from any credit or praise given to the Atlanta Braves. They deserve it. They deserve it for everything that they're doing and showing the guts that they had to come back out when they were just clotheslined the other day to win that huge game. But I think a bigger point is going to be made in another person who complained at me. This person complained on the Apple Podcast site, gave me one star. Yikes. KNAP22 wrote, wins. So caught up on wins. Keep saying 88 wins, but the Braves had the best, had the worst record at the deadline and the best after. Did they play above their heads when they beat Milwaukee in the first two games against LA? They're a good team, and they're proving it. Shame on you. I got a shame on you. Maybe there is some shame on me. Maybe there is a little bit of shame on me, KNAP22. Maybe I have focused too much on that 88 wins. I guess one of the reasons is that that's how you see, that's how you determine who should get home field advantage in a head-to-head matchup. And I felt that that is based upon how you do during the entire season, not just in the final 2 months when you're kicking butt. And so with that in mind, bringing up the 88 wins was to show something that was a quirk in the scheduling of the playoffs. But at the same time, you're right that while they were sub 500 at the trade deadline, they have been outstanding since then. Outstanding in the regular season, where they not only pulled themselves off the mat, but they put everyone back in their dust, especially after taking on Philadelphia towards the end of the year, where that was their last legit challenge that they had. But they deserve it. They've played great ball. They've had to play a super tough Milwaukee team. And now what some people thought was an all-time defending champion with the Dodgers. It was. But here we are. And it's the Braves, not the Dodgers, who are on the verge of doing it. And that made it harder for them. That made it harder for everything that they've achieved up to this point. And so I give them tons of credit. Now, I'm not going to give them showering, you did it credits until they do it. They were up 3-1 last year. A lot of teams have blown 3-1 leads. That being said, the way they're getting the right pitching, the way they're getting the hits when they need it, the way that their offense explodes when they need it, and sometimes it becomes a pitching, whatever it is, becomes a pitching matchup. You're right. You're right. At this point, 88 wins doesn't matter. You're in. They punch the ticket. So I didn't mean to be, or at least have the perception of being disrespectful for the Atlanta Braves. What they're doing is fantastic. If they win, they are a legit champion because they had to go through Milwaukee and Los Angeles to get there. And to do it, if they do it against LA, people wouldn't even have the it's easier to win a best of five series. So I've been, Astros Twitter has not liked me over the last few years because I've been very critical of the team. And if they win the pennant, I've got a lot of thoughts about it. But I wouldn't have anything bad to say about them. And if they win this, they've shown some guts and some character. And the same thing is going on for the Atlanta Braves. I'm going to say in full disclosure, this is not me being anti-Atlanta Braves. This is me wanting the baseball season to continue, especially here in Los Angeles County. So I am going to root for the Dodgers tomorrow, if for no other reason than to expand the series and to maybe have more than one game played on the same day over the weekend. All right. Well, hey, look, thanks for making this your first listen because we're available on all the platforms. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm tired. I got to go to bed and get my rest. I got to get the old soup bone ready for work so I can get all my work done and sit down and watch Atlanta versus Los Angeles tomorrow. Because that could be a really fun game. And it could be one of those games where you're like, wow, I can't believe the series unfolded like this. And the fun thing about that series is I could be talking about either team. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnMLBPods. If you want to follow me, I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. And if you have anything nasty you want to say to me, send it there. I'll address it. Staying up to give you this podcast and looking at the fact that the pennants could be wrapping up as soon as Friday. This is Locked On MLB for the 21st day of October. I almost said September. 2021, I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sullivan.